no one ever complained or said anything, and it was a good time. But then later on, we moved. My husband was transferred down to the San Diego area, so now I live down here, up in Carlsbad. And throughout that move, my life took a new direction, and we started attending an evangelical church. So we attend a Calvary Chapel in Carlsbad, California. And over time, I became employed there, and I actually am a children's pastor at North Coast Calvary Chapel in Carlsbad, and I manage a second and third grade program, and it's a big church, thousands of people. So every weekend, I see hundreds and hundreds of second and third grade children. And so when I started doing that, this is where I was new, and we're new in the evangelical church here. It was a new experience. And one thing that I do is I give out prizes to little children for saying verses. And one thing I had was little dinosaur eggs with facts on them. And the dinosaur eggs said the age of, 65 million years, 75 million years since the time of the dinosaurs. And what surprised me was parents went to the head pastor and complained because of those numbers on there, because the earth is only 6,000 years old. So, that was a startling moment for me that there was this much disconnect here, and that I had to be careful what I said to kids in my class. And this was further, my husband is a geologist and has a degree in, geosciences and works in the geoscience industry. And he was helping up with fourth through sixth graders. And one of the most common questions they would ask in that on question and answer days is, how do the dinosaurs fit into the creation story? Very common question for kids. They always ask this. And the standard answer is to sit and show how dinosaurs were on the ark. And, that's what it is. The earth is young, so they must have been on the ark. And there's not even a question. No one even brings up any other options. That's all anybody discussed. My husband had just about fainted because he had never, he'd never heard that people actually thought that. Because he had come from Catholic and Presbyterian church, and it wasn't such an issue. But anyways, this is where this first became striking to me. And so that's why I found out, yes, there is a concern. And the question that's become since then, since my working with these kids and these families, is how do we address this? And is there a way, using media and using our connections to engage in discussion, especially with kids? And so, like I said, there is this disconnect, and that I had been kind of unaware of before, but it's a huge disconnect. And I want to say that I love our church. I love our Calvary Chapel. I love the people. They are great, and we have a great spiritual connection with these people. And but it's weird to be in a place where you're afraid to discuss certain things, like the age of the Grand Canyon and the creation. And it's been a weird disconnect for us. And we think, we try to, the ideas of origin just get people really worked up, too. So we have to be careful there, and it's exacerbated by that. And then just in our experience, we know that a lot of the, promoting of agendas tends to stifle discussion, and the lack of mentoring. It's just a number of things that we've observed and that I've observed in the church. Being a pastor, you're able to see these sort of things. But what's interesting is, what do we do, and how do I reach kids in a way that doesn't upset parents and upset other pastors, but really can engage them in science, because we just don't talk about it. And one thing that I focus on is just to encourage the study of the, God's two books, and to take some wonder in science and some wonder in the beautiful world that we live in. And just an example here, this is the beach near our home in Carlsbad, Ponto Beach. And just to look at that and to see the amazing beauty of God's world, it's just been a way to reach kids, I found out. And one thing I was able to do, one thing we do at our church, is something called Kids Games. And I'm actually wearing my logo shirt. And it's like Vacation Bible School. But instead of doing, the thing about Vacation Bible School is it tends to turn off certain kids, the idea of school, and especially boys. And so one thing we do is we take the idea of Vacation Bible School, and it's worldwide now. Kids Games is now worldwide, and enhance it so kids learn all the basics of the Bible, but they also get to do an elective. And in general, it's sports electives, because sports are international. We do a lot of sports, but there's a number of kids who don't do sports and don't want to do compete in sports, and that's where we have a chance to bring in art, music, and science. And so I took on teaching of science at the church because nobody wanted to touch it, basically. And that is where I was able to to reach kids with scripture and science. And that was what was so cool, is we were studying David. We were studying the history of David in the Bible, and we were able to go in and find different ways to bring it in, like with the slingshot. We were able to build slingshots and test out ammo and angle of release and weight of our ammo. And, you know, we were able, it was more casual and not rigorous scientific method, but they were able to engage and think and then at the same time read the Bible. And we did it on more, you know, different levels, or like DNA and talking about our uniqueness with God. And I was able to take this, and we had to do this outside with kids running amok, but we were able to do strawberries and crush them and extract the DNA from strawberries. And this, I mean, this got the kids so excited. It was just amazing. What to see. And, you know, so we talk about the Bible, we talk about the scripture, we talk about science. And it was a really neat way to bring it back. To bring back some wonder to them. And I'm just, you know, it's just from a book that we read, it's a great returning to an ancient understanding of finding a forgotten path of wonder through the wilderness and chaos of change. It's just, that's what we've been, you know, trying to touch. But the question is, what do we do with that? And so a little bit of science here. I was talking with my mom and my dad. My dad's a long-standing member of ASA, and he has spoken in our own church and brought in ideas of science to the people in our church. And so we started to talk about, you know, what is this on a bigger picture, and what about kids and Christian, you know, Christian kids in science. And so just a little bit of data here. There's from a Cardis Education Survey, you can see that in the yellow is Protestant Church and the brown is Catholic. And you can see that what the emphasis are. And the Catholic Church tends to have a more of an emphasis on university and academic excellence, and the Protestant more on family. And so the conclusions of this is that Protestant schools are setting the bar a little too low, maybe, with academics and science for kids, and kind of forgetting to push that in their emphasis on family. But at the same time, Catholic schools are really excellent at the academics, but they miss some of the spiritual growth. And so it just, you know, and when we're thinking in general of teaching kids and reaching kids with science, there's a weakness there. And the question we were asking is how do we do this? This is a big picture thing, and we're not able to answer this right now, but it just helped us kind of identify what the problems are. And there's a book out there, You Lost Me, that lists some of the reasons young people leave the church. And there's a number of reasons, but the one that we were key on is the anti-science. They feel churches are anti-science. And 18 to 29-year-olds think churches are out of step with the scientific world, Christianity is anti-science, and have been turned off by the debate. And not only that, a number of teens aspire to these careers, but do we ever talk about them in church? You know, it says how many youth workers have addressed it in the past year, maybe 1%. And I even see that in my own church. The only science that we ever discuss is, you know, why evolution is bad. That's basically it. That's all that ever comes up. That's the only science that ever comes up in the youth programs at our church. And but we feel it's really important on both. And it's important to have the biblical lens, because we think that if they do have that spiritual growth and they do have that biblical training, that is actually a bonus for them, and they are more able to think well. But at the same time, and these are quotes from the book, a sense of wonder inquiry, you know, scientific inquiry, can lead us to more worship and to closer to God. So this is why we think this is so important. And so what do we do? And these are on the slides. I'm not going to go through these, and we've already heard a lot about BioLogos, but there's a number of websites out there to look at and to visit that discuss these things. But the question is, is anyone looking at them from the evangelical church? And one thing that I deal with at church a lot is a lot of homeschooling families. And many of the mothers and friends I have homeschool their children. And the bulk of them use the Young Earth curriculums because they're beautifully done and they have a strong presence in the homeschooling world. And there's a list here just of some of the standard ones. There's a few that actually go over more than one origins background. But it's just interesting because in communicating with these families, these mothers, these children, they're not even aware. Some of them are actually not aware there's a discussion. I mean, to them, it's been proven. The Earth is young, and that's it. And, you know, and there's plenty of other good science in there, a lot of good chemistry, a lot of good biology, and, you know, good science projects. But I still feel that there's a big gap and they're not understanding a big picture of, you know, geology and astronomy and all these fascinating things that we kind of avoid because no one wants to talk about them. And that's actually what parents say. Oh, I just skip that part. I skip that part. Because we don't want to talk about that. Again, we're thinking, well, how do we reach these people? How do I reach these families that I work with every day? And, you know, one thing we did with my mom and dad is we created a book. I put together a curriculum based on all these scientific experiments and all these stories from the Bible that you could do with children, do with young children or older children. And a book is great, but, you know, you have to get a book out there. How do you reach it? Because, you know, the world, publishing world is changing. People are going away from publishing houses. They're publishing on demand. There's just a million books out there. And everyone can comment on them. It's just a different world. The publishing world has really changed. And so putting a book, just simply making a book and trying to get it to someone is not a simple thing anymore. So we're wondering, can we go beyond just getting our book and trying to sell it? Can we reach families in another way? And then, of course, there's social media. And one thing that we find is that it's an easy way of sharing information and builds a sense of community, as we've talked about. But at the same time, can you make, you know, do kids make meaningful connections? Do they converse or do they just look at their phones all the time? And, what can it lead to distraction? So there's some pluses and minuses in it. And so, you know, we looked again, we do more surveys of websites, what's out there for youth. A lot of ones that the evangelical kids go to tend to be focused on family values, moral purity, not a lot for kids to go to for science that we could find. But there are some out there that they can at least look at. And then what are some negative aspects about this, I think, that I found and that these guys already talked about, too, is that blanket yourself. I mean, if you're going, and if you believe certain things, you can go and look on the internet and find just the things that you agree with and skip everything else. And you find yourself very insulated against everything. And anything can be put up and posted and reposted and spread. It's very easy to find just about anything and put it up there and people will believe it. You know, beautiful graphics, pretty pictures, you know, it's easy to lose real science in what's out there. So these are where you have to be careful. But could you use it to engage people in a positive way? And that's what we're working on. And, of course, we just learned all about how to set up a blog. And so that's just what my parents have started to do. And we're just barely starting. But we're wondering if, you know, the book is available, but can we move along with the blog? And then, you know, of course, there's the social media and Facebook. If we can, you know, if you can get people, as they already explain the whole thing to you, once people start liking you and reposting, can you start building it? It's very difficult, as we've learned, to actually build up a base. And so this is what we're wondering. Is it worth our time? You know, is there enough of a need for us to even do this? That has kind of been our question. What do we do? And, you know, there's all these different ways to reach. Now, I have a unscientific sample of two children in my own house, and they learn best, just have been watching them for the past year, videos, everything videos, anything videos. There's videos there, show them how, like, create a make space where they make cool experiments online. My kids watch those and redo them. And there's little Spanish clips. They watch the Spanish clips and learn Spanish. These are not, I don't even direct them. They just find these on their own. And they do it on their little tiny iPods, too. That's how they spend their time. And it's common with their friends as well. So I think that the blog is one thing, but if you really want to reach kids, you have to go beyond that and hit video, because that's what I'm seeing with these kids. They really connect with that. And sitting and reading something, I don't know. I don't know how far they're going to go with that. But another way, interesting in hearing about Biologos is another job that I have, along with being a pastor, is I work for an evangelical website called, a media group called Outreach. And they have several websites called Church Leaders, Sermon Central, and Outreach, and Pastor Finder. They were based in Vista, California, and they just moved their operations to Colorado Springs. And I've been doing HTML coding for them. And what's interesting is they've been, you know, tracking their Google Analytics, and they've been, some months they're getting almost a million hits and are very popular with pastors. But what I've noticed on their website is no discussion of science, almost none. And in the past year, what I've been working for them, and they put out six, seven newsletters a week to different church leaders, to pastors, many, topics of this, that, and they pull in bloggers. So, if you, as a blogger, get enough interest, they can contract you and they will put you in their newsletter and you can get more exposure, and actually quite significant exposure through them. But I did just have noticed that with all of these science websites that I send my parents to, that ask me questions, this evangelical website never touches on them and rarely talks about them. In the past year that I've worked there and I've looked at all the articles, not one has touched on any science topics or teaching science to lay people or teaching science in the evangelical church. One of those discussion forums where people ask questions, and someone did ask a question: should all pastors take a stand on young earth from the pulpit? Period. How many people agree with that? And vast majority of comments, hundreds of comments came in, with the vast majority saying, yes, pastor must teach that from the, that is super important to my pastor. It's just surprising to me where that disconnect is, and how do those people and these, people here, how do you connect those two? I don't know. That's been fascinating to me. In looking at blogs, there are a number of blogs out there, just a few in our list, and when you look at the slides, you can see them, all very interesting, but again, I'm not seeing, I don't know that people who need to see them are going to them, and how do we get them out there? And then, of course, there's the whole aspect of kids. This is the blog that we've just set up. I just have a few entries in it, Wonders in Our World, and the book. So it's experimental. And everything that we just learned here from BioLogos we could work on integrating that, whether that builds a base, whether I can reach families and children, especially in the evangelical church, I don't know at this point. One thing I do want to say is one thing I learned working in media, the media group, is personal branding is super important at bringing people in. And so, can we create a brand? Can we create a blog? Can we engage families? And one thing I just want to offer is, can we get a place for kids and these intimidated families to ask and answer questions without fear? And there's a lot of fear, seriously. And, with emphasis on grace and truth, and then a focus on the wonder of science and how beautiful it is. And to do that, one thing that I want to offer, we offer from our website, is that we have both science and ministry. My father's traveled around the world teaching to a number of people, mostly in the Middle East, about science and faith issues, as well as being a scientist. And I, being a trained scientist and also a children's pastor, kind of offers a place for, a brand. And if that brand can reach people, can we reach them locally? Can we reach them internationally? Is what we're trying to do. And there's a number of ages here. What about the younger kids? How important is it? Do we reach younger children? Is it something that we have experience in? Is it worth it to try to reach these kids and excite them? And then we present a family with a long-standing multi-generational faith in Christ. So this is just a small family endeavor, we're trying to reach more people. We're trying to decide, is this, from our own experiences, is this something worth looking at? And so, concluding here, it's we found the need to be evident and urgent. I see this on a regular basis. But it requires, cooperation, collaboration, people talking about it. Because, one little blog isn't going to make a difference. And, is there any, coming to the ASA community with these questions, someone who works in a church, is there anything ASA can offer us to give to kids, to pastors, to evangelical churches? That's been one of our main questions. And we're open to questions. I think that's it. We're open to questions. Yeah?
Laura, what's happened with your church administration, your church leadership, with the conflict?
I'm very fortunate because the church that I am a member of, our lead pastor actually refuses to take a stand on origins from the pulpit. He won't talk, he won't take a stand. And because he won't do that, people have left the church, actually. But they are supportive of, at least of me. And that's been really, I've been very fortunate. Our main children's pastor is very supportive of me. So that's been,
That says something about your character.
Thank you. But yeah, I'm lucky, because that's not the case in some of the churches. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah?
This question relates to the previous talk and others as well. It strikes me that the Christian community and the subset of the Christian community that has a science agenda is busily fragmenting itself into smaller and smaller special focus groups, special mission groups. And therefore, our administrative cost per unit of output continues to rise. What's the value, in your opinion, of trying to recombine and seek ways to merger and increase our outreach and our efficiency and our breadth and our cross-communication?
Well, for me, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think there was a value to it. I feel that, my experience with the scientific community, we spend a lot of time discussing this and this and this and trying to prove that. But I'm just, because I've been in the pastoral staff and I've been at a evangelical website, and I personally, my heart is broken when I see people not understanding just that the amazingness of science, to dismiss it, to dismiss the Grand Canyon and the, just the geologic history of the Grand Canyon, to have that outright dismissed to me. And I feel people are missing a part of God's beauty and world. That's how I feel. So I feel that it's worth it. But yeah, I don't, maybe others won't agree. I don't know. Yeah?
I think there's a couple of audiences that you could connect to that would be really helpful for you. And one would be the Christian schools.
Right.
Because a lot of them are not quite as extreme as the homeschooling. And in
right.
middle school, at least that group, the teachers are trained in science. And so the teachers often feel the same disjunct
yes.
between themselves and the parent group. And so
right, right.
you might be able to market something like this, which has a very gentle tone of sort of toe in the door to our
right.
discussion, to middle school Christian school teachers. And the other group would be, I think, youth ministers that are in training. And you might want to see if you can connect to the CCCU, because they would have a network of faculty who might promote what you're doing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, very, 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 yes. Yes. Yeah?
I'm thinking, just communicating and dialogue by itself, I don't think is enough. I think the Great Commission is really the only reason why this is important. To me as a Christian. And it's not just about talking, it's about changing hearts and minds.
Right.
Right? And we haven't had enough of that. We've had a lot of great insights on communication, but I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in the results of communication, and I don't see a lot of evidence of what changes people's minds. I'm thinking that maybe ASA needs some help from sociologists or somebody who surveys to really find out what is effective and what is not effective in social media. Can a Twitter
right.
change your mind? Can tweets change my mind? 140 characters or something. I've had an ASA kind of branded website up since 1998, and it almost gets no traffic. It's got a lot of theological stuff, and I finally concluded that theologians don't read websites, they read books.
Yeah.
So there's different media for different generations.
Right, right.
But we need to find out about the end product, the end result that's coming from this, not just the activities that we're doing.
Right.
I think I
right.
can respond
yeah.
to that a little bit. You said, can a tweet or a Twitter change your mind? I don't think the tweet can, but the community
okay.
can.
Yeah.
And that
okay.
the community is communicating with that platform. And I'll get into that a little in my presentation next. So, just a little bit more to that.
Okay.
Any other questions before we wrap up? Here's a couple more.
Okay.
I just want to say I just admire what I heard of your efforts.
Oh, thank you.
Being married to a minister in the PCUSA, we've not had this terrible gulf to support. But I talked to Jack Johnson, after his wonderful presentation on Saturday at lunchtime, and I asked him, how many of your associates have responded to your Christian commitment and so forth? And his answer was none. They just think he's just weird, and that we ASAers are weird, and we don't really reflect this. We may not be as stupid as the evangelical community, but they're totally anti-scientific, and we're not even going to touch it, even with Jack Johnson. And that was very discouraging to hear. And I just don't know. I just can't understand how pastors at evangelical churches, reading the statistics of their graduate, their people going on to college and losing their faith and this and that, don't realize that they have a problem, and they don't seem to address it at all. And I am just heart sick, and I'm sorry that you're heart sick, because I can tell that you are. My wife is often heart sick, so she'll walk up to you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. All right. Thank you. And this is the book, by the way, if interested, that's the book.